Hey, what's up, guys? It's your host, Lopez, and I just want to say thank you for tuning into this episode today. If you're on Facebook and want to show some support with a like on the page, you can find it by going to facebook.com/behindcloseddoorspodcast or just searching Behind Closed Doors Podcast. You can also find it on Twitter at the BCD Podcast and on Instagram at the Behind Closed Doors Podcast. Last but not least, follow the podcast on Spotify by searching Behind Closed Doors in the podcast section to see all the amazing upcoming interviews I have to come. Every Sunday, I post a picture of a band with a hint of who my next guest is. Then on Tuesday, I post a brief clip from our video interview with a good highlight of our conversation we had. And lastly, post the new episode up on Spotify every Thursday morning. Now, on to the episode. All right, so we got Tyler Dugoni. Are you doing both Caliber and BVTV or just one?
So Caliber, but I also do all the graphic designing and everything for BVTV.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's run by one of our guys who's also on Caliber. So BVTV is actually run by Alex Kaderabek. So I just do all the branding and stuff for both.
Okay. You don't do any of the filming or anything like that with them?
No, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I do all sorts of stuff. So I do the website. I, created the website. I do all the branding. I do video editing as well as filming.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure before I jumped into that, cause I got all this material to cover and I didn't want to like,
no, all good. You know? Yeah. If you want me to give you like a brief rundown, like I can.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say what kind of started everything with, I guess just say what came first or were they both at the same time?
BVTV came first. So BVTV was going on a couple years before Caliber started, but, we met Alex like, I don't know, maybe early on, but we partnered with him like, you know, maybe in 2015 or 14 or 16. I can't remember. But ever since we've worked on everything together. So.
Yeah. If you want to give just a brief rundown or just a total rundown of everything from start to finish with you guys, that's definitely one of the things I wanted to cover, like how it got started and whatnot.
Yeah. Do you just want me to give you some stuff so you know what to ask?
Well, I mean, I guess a pretty good, a good rundown of things. I guess I'll just start from, I'll just start from the top. Where are you from? Like, where did you grow up at?
So I grew up in Modesto, California.
California.
So
is that where you're at now?
So I live in, Stockton, California, which is right near Sacramento, which is where we're based. So and we all, been
where you've stayed pretty much your whole life then.
Yeah. I've stayed in California my whole life, mainly Central California. So
what's made you want to stick around there?
I love it. I mean, the music industry's great around here. Sacramento's got a great, you know, local scene, and I've thought about going to LA and I almost did it, but I've figured that it's better to be here. Like we can work anywhere, you know, in the world. Yeah. So it's it's not like a real issue. We'll just get flown out places anyways. So
sure. Yeah,
it's not too bad.
What got you into wanting to start doing film?
So I actually started, probably in high school. I started out doing graphic design when I was 12. So my mother was a graphic designer, and she used to edit things all the time, and I was constantly watching her. And then when I was 12, she gave me a computer with Photoshop on it, and I just kind of started playing around with it. So I did graphics for years, and then I eventually started doing video in high school when I got into a class where we just started doing video. So I started playing around with green screen and doing, you know, little skits and things, and that's where it really truly started. But it wasn't until after high school that I got into like doing concert work. It was like I was probably 18 when I started going to tons of concerts, and then I started shooting photos of bands, and that's what blossomed into doing video.
So what do you remember the first band that you shot for?
Yeah, it was actually Kingdom of Giants. So Kingdom of Giants, which are now on Sharptone Records, and they're doing amazing things, and they're good friends of mine. They, when they first started in 2010, which was the year that I graduated high school, they were the first show that I ever went to and shot photos. So I went and shot photos of them. And then shortly after, I shot some photos of May Day Parade at like a little local venue. And that's kind of what just jump-started it all.
Now, do you have any influences as far as somebody that you would say that you look up to as far as it coming to film?
Yeah, I mean, I look up to quite a lot of people, a lot of people in this scene. It depends for, like, I look up to certain people for certain reasons. Like, I have, there's a guy named Andy Chen who does absolutely amazing music video work, and he's worked with all sorts of massive artists, and his visuals are incredible. And then I really look up to Sam Shapiro. Sam Shapiro works at Danny Wimmer Presents, and they're behind a lot of the live videos that you see today. Like, they did Dance Gavin Dance's recent Tree Cities sessions performance, where they did it on the, you know, the Golden Bridge in Sacramento. That was all Danny Wimmer and Sam Shapiro. Sam Shapiro has been doing some absolutely amazing stuff over the, you know, past few years. Definitely someone that I've looked up to, and, you know, I'd love to work with someday.
You might have a good idea of this. Do you know who was behind the camera when they did Tesseract's Portals?
I don't actually. I'm not sure.
I'll have to watch that. When you first started out, what kind of equipment were you using?
When I first started out, I was actually I started with a Canon T1i, which is like the lowest quality camera. You know, I mean, at the time it was pretty okay. It shot 720p video, which is very low resolution. But it's taken years to get to where we are, because we, you know, Caliber was started 8 years ago, almost 9 years now. And it, like, when we first started, it was just Alfredo, who runs it, he was just shooting on his own. He started off shooting with just his cell phone, and then it blossomed when he met me and our other videographer, Sam. So I started doing branding, and then we started working on getting multiple angles, and that's how things kind of started flourishing. And I started with that Canon, and then we moved up and I had a Nikon, and now I've got a ton of cameras. So
what's the main one that you use?
So now I use a Blackmagic pocket cinema camera. It's a 4K model. Before, I was using a Nikon D500, which is, it's an okay camera. It's got, you know, 4K, but it's definitely not aimed at video. So one of the big things that we've been doing is we've been all moving towards cinema. And I was the first one to make the jump. So now the rest of the crew's looking at it while we're in coronavirus and, you know, not able to film. We're going to try to come back stronger than ever.
Yeah. I know a lot of the bands that I've talked to so far, they're pretty much on the same page like that. They're trying to get their equipment established a little bit better while they have the time to, you know, and actually be able to tweak with it and get new, you know, new sounding. And it's definitely a good time to work on that type of stuff. Now, what's the difference between BVTV and Caliber TV? What made Caliber TV start?
So, I mean, Caliber TV is all live performances for the most part. I mean, we've branched out into doing premieres, but BVTV has always been like a hub for premieres and occasionally live stuff. So like he was doing live videos back in the day for Brian Starrs, and some of the videos would go on his channel and some would go on Brian Starrs' channel. And then we were pushing our own live videos at the time. So our live videos, you know, we were doing all on our own before we teamed up with BVTV. And then we struck a partnership, and that's when we started working together. So AK, who runs BVTV, is he runs the back angle. So he runs the angle at the soundboard, and he monitors all the sound as well as filming.
Oh, wow.
So he does the capturing of the audio for our producer. And then the rest of us, we worry about all the video. So we do all the other angles. We do all the cut work. We put it all together. I do the color grading. It's a process between multiple people, but BVTV will always kind of be a hub for new and upcoming artists. And that's what we're trying to also do with Caliber. But we're trying to do it on a different level. Like we've got a website and a news publication. So, you know, we're using that as well as a platform to push artists. So that way we can push artists on our website as well as our YouTube. So
now with BVTV, what does that stand for?
Pretty much nothing.
No.
So, AK, I might get this wrong, and if AK watches this, I'm sorry, AK, but it was like his high school's like AV multimedia name. It was called, I think he went to Bella Vista High School, and it was called Bella Vista TV or something. So he just like, he stole the BVTV from them. Nah, he didn't steal it, but you know, yeah. He was inspired by it, and that's what he started it as. And I think he started it while he was still in high school. So the name's just always been there. And I don't think he'll ever change it, but it is what it is. I like it. It's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. Now what about Caliber TV? What's the meaning behind the name for Caliber TV?
Well, Alfredo came up with the name years ago. And I think ultimately it was just something that kind of clicked. It was a name that we really liked, and we wanted to bring like high quality, high caliber videos to the internet. And like when we first started, like, you know, there was a lot of learning going on, and you know, we've come a long way since then, and we've learned how to do our craft and how to do it right. But when we first started, that was the thing, is we wanted to put out live concert videos that were, you know, top quality. And even back then we thought we were doing killer work, but you know, if we could look, you know, 5-6 years in the future, we'd be like, no way. There's no way we're doing that.
Yeah. Everything's like, going to advance.
Yeah. It's taken a while to get to where we are, but we've always had quality in mind. Like that's the biggest thing.
Now the recording equipment that you guys use, does that shoot in 4K or 8K?
4K.
4K.
So yeah, we have all 4K cameras. We would love to make the jump to 6K, but we're probably all going to stick with 4K for a while, because we produce like 2K videos or 1440p videos. So it's higher quality than 1080p. I would like to put out 4K videos, and we could, but not with the amount of editing that we do. Like we have a lot of post work and things, and we need that extra space so we can crop things in. A lot of the magic happens in the editing process. So
for sure, man. Let's go into a day in the life with you. So we'll start with, just pretty much going to a show, and then what goes on after that? How early do you guys get there? What's going on before the show when you guys are just hanging out? And then what's the process like during the show?
Well, okay. So when we do arrive at the venue, I mean, before we arrive at the venue, it's a lot of emailing back and forth. Like, we work with the artists and the labels and managers, and we coordinate things. But then once we get to the venue, AK actually gets there generally earlier than we do. He's usually there when the band's loading in and talking to the sound guy, because a lot of times bands will bring in their own sound guy if they have their own board. If not, it's not really an issue because the venues that we film at, we know the people there. But sometimes we have to get there early and we have to, you know, set up audio. So he takes care of that. He talks with everybody. We get all the audio set up before the video crew shows up. And then once we show up, a lot of it is just, you know, we know our angles based on the venues that we're at. If we're at a different venue, we're planning things. So like if it's a venue that we've shot, you know, 100 times, we know our positions, we know what we're going to be doing. If it's not, we're generally figuring out the best logistics and how we're going to get those angles. A lot of it is also, you know, like having people aware that we're there. So like meeting with security teams, like if we are filming for a festival, you know, like when we did Warped, it's like Warped would, you know, introduce us to head of security every year. So they're available, you know, they know our faces, they know who we are. We're not going to get kicked out of the pit, because we've had like issues with that where like we're there to film a full set and photographers only get 3 songs. And then they're like, hey, you got to get out of the pit. And I'm filming and I'm like, no, I don't have to get out of the pit. Check my pass. Like, you know, and sometimes we do get thrown out. So like when things happen like that, it's, you know, it's frustrating. Oh, I mean, definitely. We haven't had those issues in years, you know, now everything's been figured out, but it was at one point an issue. So that was a big part of, you know, when we would get there is talking to everybody. Everybody knows why we're there, who we are, because there's so many people involved in concerts that all it takes is one person to be like, hey, you don't belong here, get out of here. And then you have to, you know, radio someone, and someone else has to radio someone else, and someone's got to be like, no. So it just, you know, that's a big part. And then once we are all set up, it's generally just we chill. I mean, we have a lot of gear with us. So a lot of our gear, you know, it stays put until we're ready to film. And then we put everything together. Because we all shoot with different cameras at this point. We're eventually hoping to have all the same camera. But currently right now, because a lot of our videographers are photographers as well, they have cameras that shoot photo and video. So oh, cool. Beforehand, I get everybody's cameras together and I color match them and I set them all so that they're all, you know, set up properly. So I have to calibrate them so that when I go into the editing process, it makes my job easier to do color grading work. So, because a lot of cameras have different color, you know, sciences.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So like a Canon versus a Nikon, we don't have a Nikon on the team anymore, but like a Canon versus a Sony versus a Blackmagic, there's just magic, you know, massive differences. So ultimately it's everything's got to be matched beforehand. And then once we start filming, we film the whole entire set. So it's start to finish, whether we're only doing one song, whether we're doing a couple, and it's generally picked in later on. I mean, we may have an idea of what song we're going to do, but sometimes artists want to push certain things. Sometimes they end up deciding to do, you know, a brand new song. Maybe they don't want it to be live yet. Maybe they haven't, you know, it's the first time playing it. Sometimes they want to, sometimes they're like next tour. So, you know, that's a big part of it as well, is just capturing everything. So that way we can decide later on.
Yeah. Now, what about after the recording process and you guys call it a wrap and then you start to head back home? What's the process like for editing and all of that? Like, as far as a time frame and just the work that you do, like, putting in all the work, you know, just kind of showcasing it.
Yeah. I mean, when we have like paid gigs and we're, you know, when we have to deliver a product, we can bump them out very fast. But a lot of times it's almost not in our full hands, you know? So like when we're done filming something, generally we sit on things because we have so many concerts filmed. Like right now during, you know, coronavirus, there's obviously been no shows, but we've still been releasing content. And that's because we have, you know, 50 plus shows that have been filmed over the past year or 2 years. So we have a lot of content that is backdated. And I think that's a big thing with us, is that we archive a lot of it, because sometimes performances aren't, you know, fully there, or there are, you know, like artists sometimes will reach out to us and they'll say like, hey, like, you know, so-and-so was sick and it really wasn't their best performance, and they're kind of worried about it. And, you know, we'll sit on it and they might end up coming back to us and wanting to still release something. But generally our schedule is, once we are in the editing process, it's done in about a week. I mean,
okay.
I mean, we have videos that are fully done that we just sit on for months. I mean, that's the truth of it. And sometimes it's just things behind the scenes. It's, you know, talking to managers and getting things figured out, or working on mixed notes. 'Cause Alfredo, who runs Caliber, he does all the cut work. So he takes all of the video home to him and I split. So we both have copies. So I have copies, he has copies. He does all the cut work, and then he can send me the project via the internet, or we meet up. If I don't have the files, we meet up. And then basically I just, you know, throw it into my program and I start doing all the color grading, any type of like additional effects or post-processing. He does a lot of that too. And then I do all the branding to finalize it. And then once it's all branded, color graded, and, you know, almost a full product, then it's waiting on audio to be done. So
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say our audio guy's name is Matt Thomas, and he works at, or runs Ashtone Audio. And Ashtone is his own studio. So he works with a lot of bands, recording albums, as well as doing Caliber's live stuff. So he just did Kingdom of Giants' new album for Sharp Tone Records, which has been out for a little while now. And he's working on a bunch of different things. He's worked on stuff with Darko, which is, you know, Tom Barber's new project, with Josh Miller from Amir. And that's been going wonderful. So, yeah, I mean, it mainly boils down to just getting things done. 'Cause a lot of times we have videos that are scrapped completely. They are like 100% done, audio's done, and we decide to do something else. So
do you guys ever have days where you're thinking like nothing just seems to be turning out good at all in your guys' favor?
I mean, yes, sometimes. I mean, generally, like, it happens. I mean, bands will turn down things, and you know, we've had bands where we have to turn down videos, or we've, you know, put together 6+ videos and none of them make it, you know, and that happens. And I think when we first started, it was a lot harder to accept those things, you know, like we put all this work into it and, you know, majority of the time it's doing it for free. And, you know, we're doing this production and, you know, producing things and promoting, and to put a ton of work into it and have it just go nowhere is awful. But yeah, it's changed over the years. I mean, we have probably hundreds of videos that have never seen the light of day. And some of them are my favorite videos ever, and I'd like to release them. But, you know, there's reasons that they don't come out. And a lot of the times we end up filming something that turns out better. So, you know, we'll end up showing up for the next tour and we'll get the same exact song and we'll be like, hey, good thing we didn't release that one because I like this one way more.
Now, what are some things you guys look and hope for to get on a recording at a show?
I mean, ultimately, I don't know if there's anything that we truly look for besides great performances. A huge thing is crowd participation. Whenever we have songs that have a lot of crowd participation, that's the thing that people really like to see. And I know it's a thing that a lot of people complain about on our channel is, you know, they'll complain and be like, oh, crowd's dead. Like, how come nobody cares about this band?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that band is usually not the headliner. A lot of them are. We film a lot of headliners, but, you know, we'll film like the whole package. So like if we're filming, you know, the headliner as well as, you know, everybody underneath them, like say, for instance, Dayseeker. Like we filmed Dayseeker and we put out Dayseeker's video and people were like, why are these people not singing it? Why are people just standing still? It's like, well, because sometimes people come to see other bands and they, you know, they learn about new bands. And exactly. That's really where what it comes down to is that not everybody is there for just the band and the video.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's one thing that we do look for in videos is high energy and capturing things that are going to be more like viral. Like we have had some videos that have had viral moments and we've had GIFs and memes made out of things. And that's been wonderful to help push our brand. But ultimately it's really about documenting live music. And if a song is, you know, killer and it is one of the top tracks, we're going to put it out if it sounds amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
And sometimes we get both of those things, like Sum 41, where we film Sum 41 and, you know, the whole crowd's going wild and the performance is absolutely killer. And then, you know, we're happy. We're super happy.
Right. Now, what's the craziest thing that, what's the craziest thing or the craziest thing you've ever seen or filmed at a show?
I've had a ton of crazy things happen. I mean, we filmed Turnstile one time. I don't know if you know who Turnstile is, but we filmed Turnstile at a really small venue and, the vocalist actually jumped over my head into the crowd. So I'm filming him and he literally runs and like jumps over my head and like kicked the top of my head and right into the crowd. And I caught the whole thing on video. The video never came out, but it was really crazy, honestly, because I'd never had anything happen like that. And that was very like early on with Caliber. But I've had people like, I've been at venues where they don't have, you know, barricades, and I've had people like hit me and I slide onto the stage. I've had times where, you know, people have chucked beers. I've seen people, you know, jump off stage. I've seen people being pushed off stage. Like there's a lot of crazy stuff that can happen at concerts. And sometimes, you know, I can't remember what band it was, but there was a band that played in Sacramento at a venue called Boardwalk, and they don't have a barricade. I think they do now. They have for a while, but when they didn't have the barricade, people would get on stage with the band like a lot. I mean, there'd be times where bands would just invite people on stage and people would be running and doing front flips into the crowd and just kids just going crazy. And that's always the most fun. Like I love when things just feel like a house show, like when just the energy is just wild. Like you've got kids hanging off the lighting, which is not good and don't do that, but it's happened. Yeah, I mean, I've seen like Amorosa, like back in the day where he's, you know, hanging upside down at Warp Tour, hanging from the rafters singing. And you've got like Fever 333 where the guitarist is climbing structures and hanging off and doing crazy stuff. So I'm sure there's a lot of crazy moments that I can't remember, but those are definitely some good times.
What's your favorite band to record for if you had to choose one?
Oh, it's really hard. There's a lot of bands that I want to work with. I guess repeat bands that we've worked with a lot. I love Asking Alexandria. They've been one of my favorite bands forever, and filming them is wonderful. Chelsea Grin is absolutely phenomenal. They're all just really cool guys. I Prevail. they've always been really cool. We met them way back in the day when they were playing at Boardwalk, and they were like super excited to meet us at the time. And they've always been just really chill, nice dudes, and they put on a killer show. Trying to think who else. I'd have to look at like our whole list of bands. Amir is always fun. I really love filming any band, to be honest. It doesn't matter if they're metal or, you know, poppy or, you know, like I'd love to film all genres just because I love music and I love documenting it. And that's really what it boils down to. But I would definitely say that heavy bands are the most fun for me, like filming deathcore and things like that. I get to get really creative behind the camera. You'll see it a lot in our heavier videos because a lot of our newer videos, we use gimbals. So we were filming on, you know, smooth systems and, you know, like Dayseeker, I'm able to run the whole pit with a gimbal and it's super silky smooth shots. But when it comes to heavy bands, I really like to get nitty and gritty with it. And I like to have a zoom lens that I can snap in and I can, you know, do all these cool things with the lens. So like when we film like bands like Chelsea Grin, we've been filming for so long that it's, you know, even if I don't know the song, I generally know what's going to happen. So like, it's a lot more fun to film heavy bands, just way more creativity.
What gets you, what's a benefit in quality to, for you to turn a band down if they were to come to you guys? And I guess if you want to call it live shows, cause that's not really a thing anymore right now, but like if they wanted you guys to do a music video, what would be a reason you guys would turn a band down for that?
Well, I mean, Alfredo generally deals with all of the booking and like talking to artists or managers and getting things set up, but generally we're willing to film almost everybody. I mean, there will be some bands that are smaller that if we see they have potential, those are the bands that we're looking for, you know, like there's bands like Polaris and there's bands like Landmarks and there's, you know, Currents and all these bands that have been making waves lately, you know, Alpha Wolf, and you've got, there's just handfuls of them. And these bands, they may not be to that level yet, and they may not have that fan base yet, or they might, you know, a lot of them do. Like a lot of these bands do have a large following, but they may not have an internet presence. And like, that's a big thing, is like, it's weird when we film bands that, you know, seem huge, but they don't have an online fan base in the way that like Pierce the Veil does, or, you know, Chelsea Grin. Some bands just do better on YouTube. So like, we don't necessarily, there's not really artists that we don't want to work with. We would love to work with all artists, you know, and we'd love to expand into other genres and do different things. But a lot of times, you know, we won't turn down an artist. Like if we're going to be there filming, like if we're already filming a headliner and somebody else wants us to film them, majority of the time, if we can get it set up in time, we will do it. And, it, you know, it may not come out. There may be issues, or, you know, we might not decide to release it, but, you know, a lot of times we do capture multiple bands at shows. So
now for you, what's one conflict or failure that you face since pursuing this filming journey, and what did you do to overcome that?
Ooh. I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs with this field. I mean, like Caliber has started from the ground up. It's a small group of people. It's me and Alfredo who run it. And then we have a lot of people who surround us now. So we have, you know, filmmakers or people who film with us, videographers, and then we have people who write for us. So it's a big group effort. But when Fredo and I first started this, it was definitely a challenge trying to get to where we are today. Like we didn't know what we were doing. Like one of the big things was not understanding how we should be releasing things. We got in trouble with a couple people and a couple labels, you know, like we weren't industry people when we first started. We were just kids who had a dream, who wanted to film, who were out there every night filming artists and releasing things. And, you know, we stepped on a couple toes and, you know, but we've made amends over the years. But I think one of the biggest things is, I'm gonna have to think. It's a tough question because it's been like 8 years of doing this, so there definitely have been downfalls. But I think for the most part we've stayed pretty steady and constantly grown. God, it's a hard question.
And if there's not one, then you know that's good then. You know, then you guys aren't you haven't really faced anything that's been too bad. Because I mean the following and everything that you guys have gotten, you know, the YouTube channels has 103,000 subs if I remember from the last time I looked. And yeah, just how does that feel knowing that you guys have that much of a good following? So you know, just
it feels great. I mean, we've like I said, we've been doing this for a long time for free. You know, like it was just us producing videos and, you know, like now we get gigs and we get people who pay us occasionally and we, you know, but most of it we're producing it for the internet. And, you know, so like, where was I going with that? It feels great. It feels great to, you know, have that recognition because for years, like we've worked on building our socials and getting our YouTube to where it is. And it's taken 8 years to get to 100,000 subs. But now that we've reached it, we're seeing growth bigger than before. You know, I think that YouTube's algorithms starts recommending us a lot more. We've seen, you know, a boost in algorithms, and we're going to have to see how that changes when concerts come back, because obviously we've had a surge during coronavirus. Like people aren't able to go to concerts and people are watching more than ever. Like this year we doubled our, you know, statistics from, previous years, like 2018 and 2019 combined, we didn't have as many views as we did this year. So like this year we hit 10 million collective views, on our videos, just in 2020. And we also gained 22,000 subscribers and reached 126 countries. So like to us, that's huge.
Yeah,
like
that's crazy.
I think it was almost 500,000 hours watched of content. So like we, you know, we've never seen numbers like that before. And coronavirus is definitely, you know, it's helped us to grow. I mean, it's made it hard. Like when coronavirus first hit, it was like we had to figure stuff out quick. Yeah. So like I actually lost my day job when coronavirus hit. I was doing marketing for an IT company. And as soon as I got let off, like the first thing I did was rebuild the whole entire Caliber TV website, because I knew that we needed to get things rolling if we were going to not be able to film concerts. So by me not having a job, I had the full time to put into building the website, which took, you know, about 2 months to fully redo and redesign. So that was a huge thing, was getting our social media presence back to where it was, which was getting news out there again and continuing to push our brands. And then luckily we had a lot of content that we were sitting on. So we had, you know, we have videos from even 2018 that we're probably going to be putting out. And those probably never would have seen the light of day if coronavirus hadn't happened. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, you know, now we're looking at it, because before we were filming constantly and it was never ending. Like we were just, we'd be filming shows and, you know, a lot of content gets left behind if it's not something that's top priority. And you know, bands come back through, and then why push out the old tour when we've got a new tour? So, you know, now we've got, you know, videos from like 2018 of bands on their last tour, where we've got videos, you know, of last performances ever. And we're like, time to put those things out.
Yeah.
You know, like now's the perfect time. And we can go back on things. Like if we want to release another Chelsea Grin video from Warped 2018, now's the time to do it. We're never going to do it ever again. So, you know, we take those things as they come. And it's, you know, it's nice to have a backup plan with that, because if we didn't have any videos saved up, our channel would just be completely dead besides premieres. So, and people definitely, they like live videos from us more than they like premieres, at least so far.
Yeah.
We're gonna work on building that more. So.
What's currently going on with you guys? Do you guys have any upcoming events such as like music videos? Cause I know obviously concerts are a thing. You guys have any music videos planned coming up in the future?
So I film music videos on my own. As far as Caliber goes, we're working directly with some artists. So like we, with Ashtone Audio, he's been doing these things called Ashtone Sessions, where we're bringing in artists and we're doing like exclusive live performances and things. So we just dropped a video of Cemetery Sun on our channel, doing that. We did the Darko video like that. That Darko Insects video was filmed at Matt's studio. So that was all a live environment directly into, you know, his audio equipment, and everything's captured live. So like we're planning on doing a lot more of those. We have quite a few artists that we have in mind as well as that are lined up. So over the next few months, we're going to be bringing artists into his studio, and we're going to be doing these small little studio sessions. It's not going to be anything like wild. We want it to feel like it's a, it'll be wild either way. Like Darko was wild, but I mean, like, it's not going to be like tons of lights and
yeah.
Like we might do that with some bands. There are some bands that have bigger production values, but we want it to feel like a studio session. We want it to feel like you're in the room at a studio and, you know, this band is performing in the studio. It's not necessarily like a live set. So we've been working on that. We've got a couple artists lined up. I can't really say who we have, but they will be coming and they'll be cool.
If it wasn't for filming for you, what would your plan B have been?
Probably graphic design. I started graphics, you know, so early in my life. And that's what I was doing before Caliber, you know, before I joined Caliber and started going full force into Caliber. I was running a graphic design company on my own called Outreach Design. And don't look it up because it's all terrible. You know, I was just barely getting started, and I was doing album artwork for bands, and I was doing, you know, different design work. I think if I wasn't doing film, I would definitely be doing design. So I've always done art in some shape or form, but video has really like spoken to me, and like, it's my passion. Like my girlfriend's a photographer and she's damn good at it, but I would never pick up a camera and shoot photos. You know, I would, if I had to, I'd be good at it and I could do it. But my passion is video for sure. And the past few years, I've really pushed into doing things on my own. So we do a lot of stuff with Caliber, obviously, but I have my own side gigs. So I run like a production company called Visual Hype Production, and I do music videos. So I've worked with a lot of bands doing music videos, and I'm trying to transition into rap as well. I want to do a lot of rap videos. So I actually produced a rap video just recently, in 2020. We're working on like, you know, pushing it out eventually. So that'll be cool. And then I've done a lot of music videos for bands as well. So that's what I do, you know, when I'm not doing Caliber.
Gotcha, man. Well, before we wrap this up with all of that, I just want to say thank you for taking the time and talk with me and go behind the scenes with everything on that, and giving a better little insight and everything. Before we go, is there anything you want to say to anybody that's listening to this?
Thank you for watching. You're the best. You're the reason that we even do what we do. I will say that Caliber is nothing without the people who watch it. So for that, we're very grateful.
And how can bands come about getting in contact with you if they want to set something up with you guys?
Straight on our website. We have on calibertv.net on our contact page. You can send us an email. You can email us directly. We have our emails. Like if you scroll down to the staff section, Alfredo, me, and Matt, who runs Ashtone Audio, we have all of our emails linked there, and you can email us directly. And then we also have like general just inquiries and things if people want to get in contact.
And do they have to travel to you guys generally, or would you guys be traveling to them?
I mean, a lot of people travel to us like right now, but just because we're doing things out of the studio, but we're always willing to travel. You know, if bands are willing to fund it, we will come.
Gotcha. Alrighty, man. Yeah. Like I said, it was nice talking with you, and yeah, I will definitely have to get that link from you because it was kind of scratchy when you had said that link, and I'll post it in the description. And
yeah, definitely. Man,
I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, of course. It was great talking to you.
Nice. You too, buddy. You have a good one.
You too. All see right, ya. Bye.